Okay, we are live on the emergency pod. We quickly invited Zach Folkman to come on. Zach Folkman did not know about the news. He just blindly said yes to an emergency pod.
Yeah.
An emergency pod, even though he was in the middle of work. Zach, the Denver Nuggets have fired Coach Mike Malone right before the playoffs. This is, I think, let me just see what Sean, I'm just going to confirm Sean's latest tweet. This is tied for the latest coaching change in NBA history. QB Brown, 1981. David Edelman, who's the assistant, will be the interim head coach. And they also fired Calvin Booth, their GM. And Mike Malone is the winningest coach in franchise history since being hired in 2015. So it's been 10 years. He led the Nuggets to the 2023 NBA championship. They have been a great team. They've been a little bit rusty the last couple of weeks. Zach, your initial thoughts?
Oh, man. Well, a rather unpopular thought on my end, which Shlomo, you already know. I think coaches in the NBA are a waste of time. I really do. I think that other than knowing when to call a timeout when another team is on a hot streak and the final 2 minutes of a close game, the coaches don't do, especially in the NBA. College is something different. Every other sport's different. In the NBA, they don't do anything, especially and even more so when you have a guy like Jokic or LeBron, who basically is the coach on the floor. You know, when Jokic is standing on the floor, it's not Mike Malone telling him what to do with the ball, right? This is my opinion, okay? I could be very off base, but in my opinion, any struggles with the Denver Nuggets aren't because of Mike Malone, and their success isn't due to Mike Malone. Like, them winning a championship wasn't because Mike Malone did a great job. And if, you know, Luke Walton would have been the coach of the Denver Nuggets, they probably would have won the championship in the same exact way. That's my thoughts.
Okay, so just, I hear that. So I'll just counter with this question. If you were the Denver Nuggets, why would you fire Mike Malone right now?
So that was my first part. The second part is no idea why they fired him. The only reason to fire a coach this late in the season is if the team isn't connecting to him, if they have issues with him on a personal level, if the team vibes aren't there. Any other reason that, you know, if they're doing it because the Nuggets keep losing whenever Jokic has a big game, they're not, you know, top of the West, and then it's just, you know, pushing blame on the coach the way that all teams do. I love how dynamic this pod is. This is great.
Levy, let's get your thoughts before I give mine.
There was a note from KOC that neither party, meaning Booth nor Malone, by the way, Zach, I hate to be that guy, but he prefers to be called Michael, okay? He always made that differentiation. Who called him Mike, he got really mad about it. Super chill guy.
You could throw that my way, but Shlomo was the one who did Mike Malone first. I'm just following in the pod's lane.
It's fine. I corrected him in the group chat also. It's okay. It's fine. We're fine. Listen, he's fired now. He can't hurt you. But he did mention, KOC did mention that they really never saw eye to eye, and they would constantly be, you know, not just bickering, but also talking behind each other's backs to different members of the staff. It doesn't make any sense. There was if you can't stand people for another however long they have in the playoffs, like, think about the money at the end of the day, like how much you stand to gain from this. Like, it's just a weird move overall. I feel like as time goes on, we're going to see other things come out about it, but it's very bizarre.
Yeah. So I'm going to make my prediction now. I made this in the group chat, but I'll make it live on the pod. I think what we have on our hands is an Ime Udoka situation. I think there must be some sort of scandal, some sort of something, because it's just too weird to fire a winning coach. Like, let's say you don't like the coach, fire him after a first round loss to the Lakers. Fire him after a second round loss to OKC. Like, what are you doing firing him with 4 games left to the playoffs? Like, what is the advantage of that? Unless there's some sort of scandal. That's the one thing that confuses me. Whether, like, I'm not shocked that he's not the right coach for the team. I am shocked to fire a coach with this crazy West playoff race. Playoffs in literally 4 games when the Nuggets could be a 3 seed or an 8 seed. This timing seems very, very off to me. So I'm predicting a scandal.
I just think that coaches are the first to go. Like, this is the way it works. Whenever a team that has seen success starts to not play to their potential, they always say, let's get rid of the coach first. Maybe it's the coach. We're not going to blow up our team yet. Blame the coach. He's the reason we're not winning. They did it with the Kings. I mean, I don't have a list in front of me, but like, the Kings are the most recent. They did it with Mike Brown. Yes, they're playing better. but they also fired Mike Brown because the new built Kings couldn't figure out in their first 20 games, even though every single, you know, team in history that was, you know, in their first year of playing together needed some time. I mean, the 2012-2011 Heat started like 9-9, if I remember correctly. Okay, if this was, if this was 2025, Spoelstra would have been fired. They would have said, you can't do it, we're firing you. Okay, and then they ended up making it to the finals 3-4 years in a row. Okay, so it's something that they, that is just very normalized. It's fire the coach first. But when you think about it, the Nuggets won in 2023, okay? When they won in 2023 and everyone looked at them, they're like, this is the best team in the world. Every team was like, okay, we need to figure out how to beat the Nuggets, right? That's what you do when a team wins. You say, why isn't our team good enough to beat the Nuggets? So all these teams started getting pieces, changing their styles, switching coaches, whatever, to try and beat the Nuggets, okay? The Nuggets did nothing. They're just like, let's keep our team. The only pieces that they've added are washed stars, right? They added DeAndre Jordan. They added Russell Westbrook. They lost Bruce Brown, who was a huge part of their championship. So if anything, they only got worse. And now the blame is on the coach somehow that he's doing a worse job, even though he won them a championship 2 years ago. Like, it just doesn't, it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't add up.
To be honest with you, to Shlomo's point, it doesn't seem to me like it's really very honestly basketball related. Although I will say, looking at the past three games that they've lost, Jokic has put up literally the most insane stat lines that guys kind of have to just contribute very minimally across the board to have that outcome change, and it just hasn't happened.
Correct. Like, it's this whole Nuggets team is doing nothing to help out one of the greatest offensive seasons in NBA history. Okay, he's losing literally every game that he has on real stat lines, and Nuggets are saying that it's Mike Malone's fault. Michael Malone's fault. Could there be a scandal? Definitely. Okay, but the reason why I believe less that it is a scandal is because how many times have we seen a coach be blamed for just a bad team? You know, Steve Kerr is considered one of the greatest coaches in history. But if Steve Kerr would have been hired by the Phoenix Suns, I mean, I think he was hired. I think he was a coach for the Suns. I might be wrong. But when if Steve Kerr would have been hired to coach the Phoenix Suns in 2016, 2017, he might have never coached again, you know? So it is very situational, and I really would not be surprised if it was just the Nuggets' way of saying, before we blow up our team, let's see if we can blame the coach and see if that fixes something.
Okay, do you think four games is enough to realize that? Four games in a playoff series?
I think that because of how tight it is right now in the West, and while the Lakers and Warriors and OKC and Houston, all these teams seem to be figuring it out right now, right? They're all playing out of their mind. They're all winning. They all seem like they're championship caliber teams. And the Nuggets, even though they're up there with them, are just losing. Like, they're losing and losing, and they're not winning the games that they should be winning. And if I'm an owner, like, you know, we all try to say, like, if we were owners, we would handle it differently. But it seems like every owner, you know, ends up in the same mindset, which is, you know, we're not playing the way we should. Let's blame the coach, because we still, the trade deadline's over, right? They can't get rid of their players. Can't trade their players. They can't really make any big changes to their roster. But what they can do is switch up the coach and hope that that will somehow, you know, boost the morale in the locker room to be able to push them into a good position in the playoffs that they can make a run.
But I feel like, even watching them this season, right, like, realistically speaking, even a Nuggets who haven't fully figured it out gives all those other teams a run for their money, including the Thunder. And the Thunder are, you know, I think the favorites, obviously, but okay, on the off chance that you figure it out over the next couple of games, you still have time before the playoffs even. You know, like, I don't think they're bringing in Rick Adelman's son.
Absolutely agree with you, but, you know, I don't, again, that's what I'm saying, like, we're not inside the heads of the Denver Nuggets ownership, right? So we obviously don't know why they're doing what they're doing. But we've just thinking back in history, like, you see these ownerships kind of freak out because they feel like their dynasty is starting to fade. Because when the Nuggets won in 2023, I mean, we all sat with ourselves and were like, you know, Jokic is the greatest player on the planet. Like, how is he going to lose in his prime, right? But then 2 years later, they still, you know, are just not getting back on the top, right? And they're starting to fall behind. And so, you know, this specific point, it's a weird time to do it. I 100% agree. But I just think that it's them saying, before we blow it up and before we get rid of Jamal Murray and before we trade Michael Porter Jr., let's get rid of Mike Malone, see if that does something.
But it's also just bizarre in regards to, like, if it's, for example, the Clippers, okay, with everybody on that team complaining about how they're being played by the coach who's in place, who's, you know, supposed to be the key person. You're talking about literally one of the best players of all time has such an excellent relationship with the head coach. And on top of that, he like optimizes the way that he plays basketball to the point that you've seen it before, that they can win the championship, literally clicking on all cylinders. I can't help myself from thinking that in Jokic being as close as he was with Michael Malone, all these players who have good things to say about him, there obviously are players that don't like him so much, this isn't going to motivate them to be better this season.
I disagree. I definitely don't disagree. I don't think that any part of this is smart. I'm just trying to understand why they're doing it. I don't think any change that you make outside of the roster itself is going to help this team win, you know, because Jokic can't care any less, right? Like, and he's not going to care anymore. He's at his level of caring right now, which is minimum. He is the best player in the league by far. Okay, so if that's where he's at right now, changing the coach isn't going to make Jokic say, you know what, now I have to play even harder than that. It's not going to happen.
Can I push back on your anti-coaching? Do you think,
to bring it full circle?
Do you think like it wasn't a huge difference when the Pistons fired Monty Williams and now they're just like firing at all cylinders? Or that the Warriors fired Mark Jackson and then essentially with the same team became the Warriors. Like, do you really think that that's just like it would have happened either way with any coach?
I really do. I think there's a certain level of coaching that they allow players to do certain things that can definitely help them reach their potential. I'm not saying it's nothing, you know, and I've definitely seen certain players thrive with certain coaches like that I can understand. But I'm really speaking mostly like the Pistons are a good example of a team that needs a good coach, right? Because all young players who are looking for some sort of leadership because they're still trying to figure out the NBA, right? So whoever the coach of the Pistons is right now, he's helping this team of young players who also all these young guys were the best players in college and high school, right? I think Cade, before his 28-game losing streak, probably hadn't lost a game in his entire like high school, before high school life, you know? And so going from that to being on a losing team, it just like it messes with your psyche. So if there, I think it's good to have a coach, not to help you with the basketball side of it. I don't think there's a coach that's helping them with the basketball side of things. I think it's a coach helping them understand how to, you know, handle being in this big league. Like that's what I think that they can be helpful for. You know, JJ Redick being a coach of the Lakers and everyone's like saying how great he's been.
So you're saying like J.J. Redick, Darvin Ham, Frank Vogel, all interchangeable.
Frank Vogel won a championship with him, you know? And J.J. Redick is, I'm assuming everyone feels this way. Everyone thinks he's way better of a coach because he's such a basketball phenom and he knows all these things. But Frank Vogel won him a championship. But it's not Frank Vogel who won them a championship. It's LeBron James and Anthony Davis who won them a championship with a great roster around them. It was great pieces that fit LeBron James. So I think that general managers and ownership are a lot more important than coaches are.
Is Greg Popovich the exception?
The thing about Greg Popovich that bothers me is Greg Popovich was never tested, unless he was. Like, where was his first coaching job? Was he ever a head coach for a different team other than the Spurs?
He became an assistant. He, like, was coaching for, like, the Army or the Navy.
Wait, so I'm saying Greg Popovich becomes a coach, okay, immediately gets one of the best players of all time to pair with one of the other best players of all time, and then gets a list of unbelievably unselfish and coachable players, you know, which is also a big thing. Guys that are there to
I think he picked them. He picked those guys. I mean, that was part of it.
That's where the argument like splits, right? Like I do think we actually had a conversation about this before. But for example, I think that Tony Parker, like, really, really great player in history. Is he as effective as a player after to a different team?
Actually debatable. I think if he's on a team where he's the best player on the team, he could be considered one of the top five best point guards of all time. I definitely could see his career going that way. But I can also see it being that he just ends up being like, trying to think of a good example, like a Stephon Marbury, you know, like someone who's a great, talented basketball player, but you don't really remember what he did because of the team he had, okay? Tony Parker's career was spent with Tim Duncan and Manu Ginobili. Like, Tim Duncan, you know, can range anywhere from fourth best player of all time to 10th best player of all time, okay? that's like to think about how good of a player he like. It's so underrated. It's so crazy that people don't talk about it enough. But then you're saying Greg Popovich is the exception. All of Greg Popovich's rings were with Tim Duncan and with an unbelievable team. It was never a Tim Duncan team where he's like this huge underdog and nobody understood how they did it in Greg Popovich.
Except the last one. That 2014 one was crazy.
It was crazy. And I remember sitting there saying, we've never seen a team play such perfect basketball. It was the craziest thing we've ever seen.
But that's coaching. But that felt like all coaching. It was there was no star. It was just like passing and like...
I hear you. To me, it didn't feel like coaching. To me, it felt like a team that has just been playing together forever and knows how to do it.
With the exception... And just because I specifically remember in those finals, watching everybody encourage Kawhi Leonard to shoot the basketball. He looked like he did not want to shoot. And they were like, Kawhi, like you're talented.
Right, because he's playing with guys that have created this culture of don't think you're hotter than you are. That's Spurs culture, okay? Well, I think that it's completely Greg Popovich. I think it's probably partially him.
Yeah. I think that anybody will tell you that it's not like I think that any coach will tell you it's not single-handedly the coach. I think a coach comes along with their staff, obviously, and oftentimes what coaching ends up being is how to like figuring out how you can work a player into the system, and a lot of it is managing personalities. If a coach is able to be attentive to that, like it takes like also emotional intelligence. Obviously, that's why you have what was the guy that Melo hated, George Karl.
Wait, so can I ask a question? Greg, we're talking about Greg Popovich. Do we think he's the exception, okay? How do you think he would do with Anthony Edwards? And before you answer, remember that he coached Anthony Edwards in FIBA and they lost. Now, it's either we're not blaming Popovich because it's on the players, or it's how in the world do you have the best team in the world full of all-stars and lose to a team led by Dennis Schroeder and Franz Wagner and then lose to the Canadians, right? So who are we blaming there?
I would argue that personality plays a role, right? Because I would then put the magnifying glass on other players that have managed to be successful in the league who have come through this person. For example, Derek White, DeJounte Murray. Like these are players who literally weren't considered. They really honed their craft with the Spurs. Like even DeMar DeRozan's whole second half of his career can be attributed to playing with the Spurs.
No way. DeJounte Murray, like, he's a great player, but I think they got rid of him because Popovich couldn't coach that type of personality. Because...
But he shined on that team as opposed to anywhere else that he's been. He has not been as effective or efficient.
He's been injured.
To Zach's credit, Steve Kerr has said that coaching, and especially international coaching, is the most thankless job in the world, because if you win, the players get the credit, and if you lose, the coaches get the blame. So meaning he probably understands better than, well, not probably, he 100% understands better than all of us how valuable or invaluable a coach is. But he even will admit that, he'll even say like, that's just how it is being a coach. He's like he said, he hates, like, he was forced to coach like the Olympic team. And he's like, there's no upside here. Like, if we win, it's like, great job. But of course, you're supposed to win. And if we lose, it's like, what a stupid coach.
You want to know who's a great coach and you could prove that he's a great coach? Rick Pitino, okay? You know that he's a good coach because he took 6 different garbage programs that had horrible records before he came and turned them around, okay? And that's how, by the way, that's how we understand it with players, too. Like, the way you understand value is how do they do without him? Right. And so with Popovich, you know, they suck right now. You know, oh, well, the players suck. OK, well, then what value does the coach add? We're saying that he's amazing because his team is amazing. And then when his team sucks, we're saying, well, he's still the GOAT. Well, why is he the GOAT if his team is losing?
Jeff Van Gundy always says when he votes for coach of the year, he votes for the coach that got the most out of his team, like not the coach with the best record or best team. Would vote for like Spoelstra on like in like seasons when the Heat wouldn't make the playoffs, because he was like, Spoelstra's getting the most possible out of the guys.
Dion Waiters.
No, by the way, this is the conversation we're having is very similar to the MVP debate, which is the MVP just the best, the guy who's putting up the best stats or the best player, or is the MVP the guy that without him there, his team would suck the most, you know? So Shea is probably going to win MVP this year. Okay. That being said, without him there, the Thunder are a 4 or 5 seed. Okay. But like statistically, when Jokic doesn't play, the Nuggets are the worst team in the NBA, the worst in every category. And it's the same thing here with coaching, right? And it's never just because they just played really well. It's always because, oh, well, it must have been the coach. It's like why?
So we actually had a conversation about this morning, which didn't end up making the pod, but now it will make the, you know, emergency one, I guess, that we were discussing the Nuggets. So the argument that I was making this morning was, Raymond Green one time was talking about the fact that the Warriors, why they were so dynamic earlier, like 2016, around that time period, was because Steph Curry allowed them to play one version of coach basketball. When he was off the floor, they played an entirely different version of team basketball. Okay, so they had two offensive systems, essentially, and that was a good enough system that it confused teams, right? Then they ended up getting Jordan Poole and notoriously Draymond Green, that now we can play the same brand of basketball throughout the game when Steph sits. The difficulty that I have is the Nuggets haven't found that second system. Maybe this is to speak to Michael Malone also aiding them and him being fired. When he is off the floor, the kind of the only thing that they've managed to do this season is essentially turn Russell Westbrook into that role, which is like, don't do that. Like, he's not going to be the big man in the middle, high post, being able to facilitate the same way that Jokic does. It's just not, it's not sustainable.
Right. I agree. But the reason why the Warriors were able to do that is because Draymond Green, even if he's not talent-wise, is one of the smartest players in the league. So when Curry is on the floor, you have the Curry offense, right? Running through him. He's running around the court doing his thing. That's one. When he's off the floor, then you have Draymond Green running the offense, which is effectively the same thing as LeBron running the offense, but without the physicality and the talent, right? So you can definitely have an offense that works that well through Draymond Green. When they're both off the court, and I've watched a bunch of Warriors games, when neither of them are on the court, the Warriors literally just launch threes. And they miss most of them. Okay. So in other words, because we're going back to coaching. So in other words, Steph Curry is one of the best players in the world. So when he's on the floor and he does his thing, they do great. When he's off the floor, but Draymond's on there, he's one of the smartest players in the game. But when neither of them are on the court, so you're saying this is the one time where coaching would probably be the most important, because you need the coach to help these other guys figure out what to do. They're garbage. Okay. And it's not garbage as in they're missing shots. All right. There's nothing you can do about missing shots. They don't do anything.
It's not smart basketball. Right. Right.
Right. So I'm saying then where's the coaching? Like I'm saying, are we going to say that Steve Kerr had a great coaching season because the Warriors turned it around, even though they added another brilliant basketball player in Jimmy Butler? Like, are we going to then look at that and say it's another successful season for Steve Kerr? I mean, the guy, one of my favorite things about Steve Kerr is that when he has an unbelievable team and they do well, everyone loves Steve Kerr. What an amazing coach. The second they start struggling, even the smallest bit in the game, he freaks out, slams his whiteboard, and gets kicked out of the game. He literally cannot handle the pressure of his guys not doing what he wants them to do. So, like, to me, I don't see an amazing coach. I just see an amazing team. And yes, Mark Jackson was there before and they weren't there yet, but it was a much younger Steph Curry and it was a much younger Klay and Draymond. Okay. You know, Steve Kerr brought something. I'm not saying he did nothing, but I don't think that I don't see him as being all that. And I don't think that if you would replace him, that they wouldn't be pretty much in the same place.
Okay, guys, we just passed the 30-minute mark. I don't want this to be too long. So I will finish with one joke and then a last gimmick. I'm just seeing all over the internet now. I'm trying to see if I missed anything, whatever. Everyone is just tweeting Westbrook's like sequence of missing the layup and then fouling the guy and saying Westbrook literally got Mike Malone fired, which is hilarious.
Okay.
It's very accurate. And now, just before we finish, just like bottom line this, give a thumbs up or thumbs down for the firing before we finish. Zach, nobody can hear you. It's a podcast. It's not a video.
Everyone can hear me. No one can see me.
Thumbs down. Because you think it was a bad move?
I don't necessarily think it was a bad move, because I don't know why they did it. And I don't think that he really helped much, because they're not playing well. But it definitely wasn't a good move. It's not going to help it.
I would agree. I'm going to say thumbs down, mainly for the timing.
This is a fun bit. I didn't know that we were doing thumbs up, thumbs down, but this is it's a big two thumbs pointing downward.
Okay. I like the intensity there. Okay. That was the NBA Daily Recap in 35 minutes or less. I want to thank you, Zach, for coming on. Really appreciate it. I want to thank you, Levy, for co-hosting and producing. And I want to thank you for listening.